Shall we read, please, Matthew 24? Now, by the way, this is the biggest conference I ever attended in all my life. Well, good to see you. Now, you will recall that about 2 years ago, it was winter time, we took up the first half of Matthew 24. I'm going to conclude the remainder of the chapter, Matthew 24, reading from verse 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shines even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will be the eagles, so they will just be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars meteorite shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. That's a magnetic relationship between the planets. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn or wail, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Verse 32. Now, learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So, likewise ye, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, my word shall not pass away. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now you know exactly what they did. Now please, verse 42, watch therefore. That's all I want to read. Now, I noticed a year and a half or 2 years ago that, and this takes again in the tribulation, that you have a pebble effect. That is, when God deals with mankind in judgment, he always has a start. Jerusalem, Old and New Testament. Jerusalem, the southern kingdom, the northern kingdom, the surrounding nations, the nations all about, and even the whole universe. And so in this passage. We looked at this particular time 2 years ago, that the Savior five times in the first part of Matthew 24 gives warning in relation to false Christs. Notice true that throughout generations there have always been people who claim to be Christ, but this is tribulation. This will intensify during the tribulation period. I'll tell you why. You see, the Word of God predicts that the present world systems will fall, collapse. They're holding together as much as they can, forming a conglomeration or a union of nations and so on, but it's totally inevitable. The present world system will ultimately fall. Now, that's a mouthful. It has happened before. Nations or governments can fall by revolution, France, Russia. Nations can collapse by military takeover, Cuba, South America. Nations can collapse by subterfuge. Remember man by the name of Ronald Reagan? Of course you do. You're old enough to remember that, don't you? Ronald Reagan and the Polish Pope at Camp David walked side by side out of the earshot of even the secret agents. What did they discuss? I tell you. He said, how do you know? Never mind. They were discussing the downfall of the Warsaw Pact nations, the Eastern Bloc. Not military. Three times East Germany, Hungary, and Czechoslovakia rebelled against the communists. The Russians sent the tanks. So the man in the room said, now, if you go to the... Now, that's not a political lecture, you know, but we have to see the Bible in light of these unfoldings. You go into the streets by the tens and thousands, they cannot shoot you all. That's exactly what happened. Now, you've heard of the KGB, haven't you? KGB found out, and this explains the assassination attempt on the Polish Pope a number of years ago. Nations can collapse by subterfuge. Nations can collapse, or government can collapse, by natural disasters which they cannot change, our brother mentioned. Tsunamis. Now, all of Europe's air traffic was halted about 3 weeks ago. My dear brother, that's going to intensify. Oh, it is. I'll come to that in a moment or two. You see, brethren, we are indeed living in the last closing days of this dispensation. No doubt about it. Nations can collapse by war and annexation. That's what happened in Eastern Europe. That's what happened lately in Tibet. Remains to be seen how Tibet will get away from the Chinese occupation. By the way, no nation that conquered others has ever held on to the conquered nations and lands. And I don't know why the leaders of the world never learned from history. Adolf Hitler tried to conquer the neighboring nations, and he lost 4 or 5 provinces. And I could go back right to the Babylonians. Now let's come, please, to the text. In contrast to this false Christ that will seek to impose the will, or they say, we have got the answer in the tribulation. You see, governments will fall. Philosophers or false Christs will rise. They say, I've got the answer. No, I've got the answer. The world will be plunged in a political and economic vacuum, and they'll look for answers. These men will rise. Now, in verse 27, the Savior tells you how the real Christ will come. Notice. And you see, when we look at this passage, I don't know whether I have time to go into detail. If you look in this passage, we have to be prepared to change our mind concerning some things. And I'll come to that in a moment or two. As the lightning comes out of the east and shines even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Well, that's interesting. Revelation 1 verse 7 says, and I've heard the brethren tell us for years and years and years, when Christ comes, now this is not the rapture, this is the coming of the King. Keep this in mind. This is tribulation. And I don't know what our dear brethren from the old country referred to verse 40 and 41 as the rapture. You can apply it. But this has nothing to do with the rapture. Two in the field, two behind the mill. It is judgment, not the rapture. We can apply it. For if you hold this is the rapture, the idea is that you might believe in the mid-tribulation rapture, which is wrong. For as the lightning comes out of the east to the west. And our brethren have taught us for years and years, the media will likely be TV. Bless your heart, not everyone has TV. There are millions of people without. China, jungles, Asia. Oh, what's it mean? Read it carefully. As the lightning comes from the east, origin to the west, destiny. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be, and every eye shall see him, not only those who have TV. Look at the book. And we come to this conclusion, when the Savior comes to take the kingdom, and we'll be with him, he will likely circumnavigate the earth several times. That's what he told the high priest. Result in this condemnation. He shall come with power and great glory. Oh, I know today Christians can be intimidated, discouraged, even depressed. Brother, the Lord will help us to look up, for our Lord has the ultimate victory in history. You don't believe that, do you? My land. You go to the West Indian Islands and you introduce a subject, everyone says, Amen. You don't even hear a grunt in Canada when you see something good. All right, let's go. So here the Savior likely circumnavigate. Now here comes a strange verse. For the carcasses, the vultures will be gathered. Why is this just in the middle here? Could mean two things. Either, brethren, it could mean the demise of the Jewish nation, and that follows the general teaching of the Old and New Testament, or it could mean the demise of civilization as we know it. You see, vultures, when they circle, and there's a victim, they circle as long as the victim has life. As soon as the victim is dead, they'll descend. I don't know what you think about Genesis 15. That could mean likely that terrible night that Abraham passed through, signifying the birds of the air disputed the sacrifice. That could likely mean the surrounding nations seeking to destroy Israel. Very relevant today. Extremely relevant. Or it could mean the demise of civilization as we know it. Now the CV touches on the cosmic effect. You're talking about the pebble effect. Small circle growing bigger and bigger. Now here the CV talks about the cosmic effect. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, or the closing of the tribulation, shall the sun be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. Neither age shall fall from heaven. You know, scientists, and especially Russia, is quite concerned that meteorites are on their way and there could be a possible collision course with the Earth. You know what they prepared? They prepared powerful rockets with mathematical computers to intercept those things. Now, the scientists are aware of the possibility. Now, as a rule, I bring something to the minister meeting of this kind because I didn't know I was going to touch on that. And that's an egg. It's boiled. I once took a raw egg and it crushed in my pocket. It was a gooey mess. You see, what's an egg have to do with the tribulation? If an egg is it's a perfect picture of this world in which we live. The crust, the shell, means the outer crust, it's very thin. This is where we build, this is where we plant, this is where we sow, and this is where we reap, and so on. And then comes the white intermediate layer from the crust, and in increasing measure, it gets hotter and hotter until you get several thousand degrees, the egg yolk. And this is the world in which we live. Recently, the world has been given notice that not all is secure. Have you ever heard of Krakatoa? Krakatoa? Come on. High school? College? Have you heard of Krakatoa? Shaking of the head. Krakatoa is in Indonesia. Well over 100 years ago, a volcano erupted, enclosing the whole world for several days, and the sun couldn't be seen. That's going to be repeated. In a small scale, it happened in Iceland. You have heard of the Ring of Fire, and scientists are concerned. Starting at Chile, South America, coming up Pacific Ocean to Oregon, Washington, Canada, Alaska, going around all the way to China, parts of Russia, Japan, going down to the Central American states, the Ring of Fire. The greatest danger in America is the Yellowstone Park. Why? The volcanic activity so close to the surface. Should there be an extended pressure upon the world, and that could easily be, the whole thing will go up like the western states will be. Goodbye. Not, brother, these are possibilities. That's not just theory. That's not just theory. The Ring of Fire. And so the Lord is not going to ask the scientists, geologists, and volcanic people that know whether it suits them. There's a controversy with the world, and God's hand is, if men will not realize it, God's hand is upon nature today. And the day will come when the whole thing just will flare up. That's a picture. Not only in the New Testament, the Savior confirms it, Revelation teaches it again. Old Testament anticipates it. These last days in which we live. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Notice all the, all the tribes of Israel shall wail. See the Christ coming. Oh, no, no, no. Is he the one we have neglected? Is he the one we have rejected? Is he the one that doesn't fit into our systems?
businessman in Europe says your Christ doesn't fit in our political system. I said, you said something.
He doesn't fit in the economic system.
Although there's nothing wrong with those economic systems, but the trouble is the estrangement of all the adherents and all those who participate in the political and in the economic system, they're estranged from God. God is not against trade and commerce, but it is again everything without God.
And my dear sister, you may have noticed, you may not have noticed, the subtlety in which we have the beginning of Revelation 18. See what's this?
In days when I was a child in Eastern Europe, all we had to eat in the winter time of any fruit was apples that my mother washed and divided and dehydrated on top of the stove. That's all we had to eat. Well, you go to Zierst and Metro, I say, year round you got fruit from all over the world. International economic cooperation. And that will ultimately mature in Revelation 18. Worldwide commerce, it's already getting into place. It will followed by the political amalgamation and also religious amalgamation. And the world is gearing up to it. You know what the New Age movement says today? They say, we all worship the same God. Do we? Come on. Do we? Nothing is for... Now, even the sisters shake their heads. Sometimes in minister meetings, I don't like when they do this. I like when they do that, you know. But this time, it's dead right. Yes. Ah, yes, been the last days. Now, please, look down to verse... The time factor. Verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree, when his branch is yet tender, puts forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise you, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near even at the doors. So I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. How often have you heard, as I have heard, that the generation that will see the regathering of Israel will be the generation that see the coming of the Lord? Not true. Not according to this text. That's nothing to do with the rapture. What does the Savior mean? What is it? Last day in May. Leaves are out. Tulips are out. Lilacs almost finished. Now, it's a natural sign that summer starts around the corner. That's a natural symbolism. No problem. The question is, how long is a generation? A brother in Bethany said he thought the generation is about 100 years. Matthew chapter 1 and 17 is altogether different. For from Abraham, says Matthew, to Babylon, 14 generations. Abraham to David, 14 generations. David to the Babylonian captivity, 14 generations. And from the Babylonian captivity to Christ, 14 generations. But you get them all to a common denominator. They're not all equal. Then the general idea is that a generation is about 45 to 48 years, according to Matthew 1 and 17. We have to take scriptures as our backing. Now, if people hold, and our dear brethren have taught me that for years and years, the generation that will see Israel in the land will be the generation that will see... No, this is not the rapture. This is the coming of the King. It's not the rapture here. Then you have a problem if you hold this theory. For Israel has been in the land for over 60 years. The Lord hasn't come yet. Now, old country brethren... Rather amusing, you know. They say, no, we cannot figure from 48, we have to figure from 1967 when Israel took the land or the Temple Mount. No way. What the Savior indicates is, notice, go by the scriptures. When you see all these things, what things? The beginning of the tribulation. He talks about the end of the tribulation.
when you see these things, nothing to do with Israel as a nation, then know that it is near even at the doors. This generation. It's a generation that sees the beginning of these things. And he has nothing to do with the rapture. It has to do with the ultimate coming of the king. Now, let's look down to verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. You know, they were drinking, they're marrying, giving into marriage, and planting and so on, building, selling. As a rule, some folks anyway, give it a very negative connotation. What's wrong with verse 30? Absolutely nothing. You buy, you sell. You get married. Didn't you? You build. What's wrong with these things? Nothing. The only thing that is wrong is that's all they did. As a brother mentioned already, no time for God. That is the present generation, at least in the Western Hemisphere. We sometimes, because of our makeup, put in a negative aspect when it is not really there. And I'm going to prove it to you. We are sometimes very negative creatures. Now, I have no problem finding the Gospel Hall in Goodwood, right on the main highway, which is 47, on the way to Uxbridge. No problem at all. But there's some halls that are very difficult to find. In a cul-de-sac, and you don't even have a road, you've just got a driveway leading to garages, and the hall is somewhere in the corner. So whenever I go to a place and look for a hall and cannot find it, who do you ask? If they're available, you ask a postman, they should know. Or ask a policeman, they ought to know. Sir, can you tell me where this gospel, little church is, it's called the gospel? Oh yeah, he said, I know. Go down the highway and turn at the third red light. That's proof you're negative. No one will ever tell you turn at the green light. That is go. Always a red light. Stop. See, the fall has sometimes produced a negativity in our very thinking. Another example. Sister A, now I'm not pointing to you, I don't know all your last names. Sister A is the vivacious, the positive type. Sister B is the sour type. The Scots people say dour, you know, dour. And so here both are out putting up the washing. Beautiful day. Mrs. A, she cannot contain her joy. She said, now Mrs. B, isn't it a beautiful day? The birds are singing, glad to be alive. Yeah, Mrs. B says, but you hear the record is going to rain tomorrow. In southern Ontario, we have got a lovely day today. In Calgary, they had snow this morning. Now, you see, we have to watch this, brother. In the days that were Noah, they did things and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. And the coming of the Lord to set up the kingdom will be just like a trip up. You see, once the rapture occurs, there will not be one at that time, one Christian upon the earth. Not one of them. So here now, the people will be at a great loss. If they don't read the Bible now, they'll likely turn to it, especially the Jews. And this is what Daniel means in the last chapter. Go thy way, Daniel, seal the book to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro. Oh, our dear brethren, again have taught us, you know, that's locomotion. People are so restless, they have to go to Hawaii, they have to fly to South America. They have nothing to against going to Zambia on the way of the Lord's work, you know. But locomotion, people are so restless. See, that's not what Daniel means. Tribulation. Many shall run to and fro because Daniel is a book in relation to the last days. And Daniel is a book that will give the Jews detailed knowledge as to what will happen in the tribulation. Many shall run to and fro through the book of Daniel, and thereby knowledge shall be increased. You see, these dear people will not know. And all the natural disasters, the wars and deprivation and the hunger and the flood and the droughts, they will wonder what's coming next. Many will be in total spiritual darkness. And so here it is Daniel who will give them insight. Now please, for a little touch of practicality, let's look at verse 42. Watch therefore. Watch therefore. Interesting, interesting verse. The last 15, 20 years, brethren, we have to face these things. I don't want to be critical. There has come, at least in some quarters, a spiritual lethargy. Isn't that right? We have to face it. Can you explain, please, why in these days we hold the gathering center as absolutely God's way of gathering, don't we? Can you explain why there's so many young people are leaving it? Are they dissatisfied? Do they want greener pasture? Are they discontented? This is something that has happened for 15 years. At least. You know, when I first got to know Christ as my Savior, I could see the gathering before I was converted. Oh, you say you did? Absolutely. I saw the gathering center. Not by the scriptures. But this is the conclusion I came to, having passed through World War Number 2 as a little boy, and observed several wars and strife among the nations, being completely stunned by the attitude of a lot of people around about. And I thought, if I could only find, now it's before I could say, if I could only find a people that, regardless of nationality, race, color, skin, have a common gathering center, what's that, the assembly, basically. I saw that before I was converted. I had no problem being what we call gathered out. In fact, I wanted to be baptized 2 days after I was saved, and the brethren said, now just, there may be others, you know, they sort of dimmed my fervor a little, and they said, there may be others in this series of meetings that get saved, and thank God there were 9 or 10 others. So we wait at the end, then we'll have a baptism. And so, my dear brethren, if we take anything away from this little message, it is vigilance and watchfulness. Watchfulness. During a series of meetings in southern Ontario some time ago, there was a sister from the old country, and she met me at the door. I'd never seen her before. She said, preacher, will you please visit my daughter? She's lying in the hospital. It was no use. She was brain dead. She had come from the old country, we call it the old country. In her purse was found a letter of commendation, and for 6 weeks she never went near an assembly. She met with some unconverted young people, and on Sunday morning, as a rule, they went horseback riding. Now, nothing against horseback riding. I tried it once and I got so shook up, I'd rather walk. I don't like horseback riding, especially gallop. My goodness. Now, I went to see her. No use. She was brain dead. No hearing, no touch. She couldn't see. She's long gone into eternity. And I looked at her very pretty face. And I thought to myself, young sister, had you only put God first, would you be lying here today? Pleasing self. Nothing wrong with horseback riding. Nothing wrong with a little free time. But, oh, our young people have to learn in daily life, put God first. That's important.
another occasion. This man I knew. Businessman. And business was good. Money was flowing freely. Now what are you going to do? You have a house, you have two cars, so buy a yacht. Now there's nothing wrong with that boat. If you have enough money, buy the Queen Mary. Put her down in Lake Ontario. And so at first was Friday. And then, you know, you have to go on bigger cruises. Lake Ontario, all the way down to the East Coast. And this 80,000, now it would be like a 200,000 yacht, took the man clean away from God. Is that worth it? No reward for an endeavor like this. No reward for horseback riding, mind you. I don't see much wrong with it. But put God first. So in relation to the Savior, relating the detailed happening of the tribulation, he ends with a warning. Watch, therefore. Watch it. Spiritual vigilance, alertness. You know, we don't look at signs, but signs are all round about us. The signs have nothing to do with the Savior's coming for his people. They have to do with his coming kingdom. So, brethren, the Lord help us, including myself. In these last days, keep your eyes open. Things are happening. God's hand is upon the nations. God's hand is upon the very world in which we live. The Savior says, watch.